Intervju Radija Študent.
Geste odpora v performativni umetnosti. Intervju z Martino Ruzam. Nevladna organizacija za kulturne dejavnosti Maska med drugim skrbi tudi za izhajanje časopisa za scenske umetnosti z enakim imenom, ki izide štirikrat letno. Pred nekaj tedni je torej izšla nova dvojna številka revije Maska, ki se tokrat posveča strategijam upora v umetnostnih praksah, predvsem v performativni umetnosti. Po besedah odgovorne urednice Amelije Krajger, številka z naslovom Geste odpora izhaja ravno v pravem času, v času, ko se zdi, da so kriza in z njo povezani protesti pri nas na vrhuncu. Kot gostujoča urednica je bila k številki povabljena Martina Ruzam, ki sicer prihaja iz Avstralije, živi in dela pa že nekaj let v Sloveniji. Martina je študirala performance in gib na Akademiji v Lincu, kasneje pa je študij nadaljevala na Univerzi na Dunaju, kjer je študirala teatrologijo in filmske študije. Sama pravi, da je v svojem delu vedno skušala združiti oba vidika, praktično uprizoritvenega in teoretično refleksivnega. Na ta način je tudi snovala tematski blog za novo številko revije Maska. Pa poslušajmo.
So this issue is very up to date with our current political situation. More and more people are starting to resist in the streets and starting to criticize this mainly political situation, but you on the other hand you are concentrating more on economic situation and on financial crisis. So why did you decide to take such emphasis on economy?
I have to say that when I started to work on to prepare the magazine and when I started to communicate with the authors who contributed texts for the magazine, this is already quite a long time ago, because it was initially also planned that the magazine would come out earlier, but because of several reasons it came out later and came out now. And at that point when I was starting to prepare the magazine and when I was thinking about which topic to decide for and on what to focus on, the political situation in Slovenia was still quite different than it is now. So that was approximately in January 2012 when I decided for the topic of gestures of resistance. And at that time, I would say the political climate in Slovenia was still very, very different than it is now. And it was not, nobody could foresee at that time mm-hmm. that we will have such a protest movement here as it is now. Yeah, so it looks at the moment a little bit like the issue comes out exactly in the moment when when the topic of resistance is really an important issue, especially in mm-hmm. in Ljubljana and in Slovenia in general.
What do you think, if you think about this current protest movements? Do these movements first start in the streets, or are an artist and intellectual somehow like the ones that first begin to form or start to think about resistance?
No, I would say, as Deleuze also once said, resistance is first mm-hmm. in general. It's not just a reaction to something, but it's something which comes first. I would not make this division at all into the protest movement which is happening on the street and the kind of intellectual resistance movement. I don't see any necessity to build two such categories. I think that they are very intertwined and that they are not that separated at all. I at least I don't see it like that. I have a feeling that people who are reflecting at the moment the political situation here a lot and who are writing about it and so on are exactly also those who are on the street. So I think that these are not two separate groups.
So I remember this statement you made in your editorial. It's about pointing out that when we say that art should be resisting, that is only discursive commonplace, this is kind of a cliché that art should be resisting by itself as such. So how did you face that cliché yourself when you were working on this issue of Moscow?
Yeah, that is the reason why it was very important for me to define more specifically resistance to what. Because I think, especially now, the topic of resistance is very widespread and it's very, I would say, in fashion. And that also implies a certain danger that it becomes very empty because you can use it for almost for whatever. So for me it was very important in the magazine to define more clearly what is the focus, resistance to what, and then to invite people who can really write about a specific project or a specific concept of how they imagine resistance concretely. And there, in this issue of Maska, there is no text that focuses on the political situation in Slovenia. So the emphasis there is really on how to resist to the dominant economic system.
A certain logic of profit, of quick profit.
Yes.
As you say. This is very interesting that protesting becomes fashionable. So do you think that now it's happening that it is kind of cool to be part of rebellion and this is so fashionable that we are like in the danger of aestheticization of rebellion? So
yes, definitely. I would say so. And this for sure is connected or related a lot to the protest movements in the Arab countries and to somehow with the protests in Egypt and so on, protesting got another value again, I think. And then later on the Occupy movement and so on in a way brought that also or implemented that into the West again. And I think that this is, I'm not criticizing that as such. I think that this is great because it's a great tool. Protest as such is a great tool, how to publicly state your opinion, how to try to change something. But it's necessary to be careful that the concept of resistance is not by itself absorbed by the economy again. Because what I already observed now is that, for example, huge dance festivals have for their advertisement, huge posters and so on, they are using pictures from newspapers, from people who are protesting in Arab countries, and they are just exchanging the faces or something and using it for their commercials. So this kind of, this is a danger that in a way resistance as such becomes absorbed by economy again.
I mean, I think that in this way we come to this problem of art becoming like commodity fetishism also. So do you think this is a problem today for the artists because they have to adapt to this art market and also to this logic of profit?
I think it is a constant struggle how to position yourself in that field, and in a way I mean, this is nothing new, because this system is also not new as such. So that's also something that is widely discussed, that in a way there is no outside position anymore nowadays. You cannot position yourself outside of capitalism.
Yeah.
Or I don't really believe that this is possible. So I think that for sure this is for every artist who is working now, this is a permanent struggle, how to position yourself and how to negotiate between different kinds of interests and still staying visible, I would say. Because if you are not entering the art market in any way or cooperating with institutions at all, it becomes very difficult to stay visible as an actor in that field.
So in her article, Jasmina Zaloshnik, she's writing about a musician, Matthew Herbert, and he claims that we have to learn to listen better. Maybe this is a mission for all the arts that can somehow teach people to get more sensible or to use all the senses better. So if we think about Ranciere and his thoughts on police order and distribution of the sensible, so I think maybe this is a connection with art that in this way can somehow produce these gestures of resistance through sensible.
Yes, I think so. I think that this is one great potential of artworks, and that that is also the reason why I chose the artwork of Mladen Stilinović to be printed in the magazine, because for me this is a great gesture of resistance from him. There is the photo series in the magazine, which is quite known from him, with the title Artist at Work. And on the pictures you see Mladen Stilinović lying in his bed. And I think that there, in these kinds of works, there is a great moment of resistance inside. So on the one hand, as you said, in the sensible and in how by reducing somehow the overload of information that the senses get, but on the other hand also like a rethinking passivity as a positive energy or a positive concept can be very useful, I think, as a strategy of resistance towards this economic ideology of permanent activity, of maximum profit, of all the time actualizing everything. That is what is in the text of Bojan Manchev discussed, that he is in a way asking to consider potentiality again. Because in this economic logic in which we are living, everything is exploited totally, and in a way there is no potentiality anymore, because everything has to be actualized immediately. So he is claiming that capitalism is not so much focused on producing goods or things anymore, but on producing the producibility of us, of the subjects, so that we are able to produce the maximum, and that we are constantly able to do that without a rest, without a stop, without slowing down. And that is a dynamic which is actually really, really problematic.
The big picture is this neoliberal dispositive, as you're saying, that forces us to become these ongoing subjects that keep producing. And do you think that artists, when they are working and they are thinking about concepts, do they bear in mind also this big picture, the system? Are they aware of this and trying to think about this all the time?
I think that many artists are very, mainly all are very aware about that, because it becomes harder and harder to realize artistic projects, especially if they are very critical or subversive or something. So I think it's hard not to be conscious about the economic context in which you work as an artist, because you are confronted with it all the time,
mm-hmm.
with each application, with each project that you want to realize, and you are dependent on getting some financial support. You are inside of the machinery, and mm-hmm. you have to, I think you are very aware
yeah.
about in which context.
So maybe we have come to this point that being a like contemporary artist, being in this performative art field is by itself somehow there is constant resistance.
Yeah, that was one question which I posed in my editorial also, if it's possible to say that, because unfortunately the situation for performing artists seems really to become much, much worse again at the moment. So if we think about the tragedy in the Netherlands, for example, that was happening in 2011, when, just as one example, which is in a way very significant for Europe at the moment, when the government in the Netherlands decided to cut the budget for performing arts 40%, which is incredible, and at the same time it decided that the really huge companies in the Netherlands, like the Netherlands Opera for example, are not cut at all. So the 9 biggest companies in the Netherlands are get the same subventions as they did in the last years, but the all the freelance artists, the smaller groups, have 40% less of budget.
Yeah, that's pretty scary logic behind this.
Exactly.
Could you maybe point out certain contributions that offer some direct solutions, not only questioning, but offer some advice or some solution for the artists how to avoid these prevailing neoliberal patterns?
Yeah, I think that especially the contributions by artists, and there are several in this magazine, or by artist collectives, are doing that with their texts already. I think that they are not just reflecting
mm-hmm.
on the economic situation and capitalist mechanisms, but that they are already proposing something with their texts. So for example, the text of Common Spring Collective is a kind of dialogue between three people. I saw this text performed for the first time in Graz at the festival Steirischer Herbst, and I was quite impressed by the performance of this text, because the collective is in a way, amongst other things, also discussing in this text the conditions of this performance that they are doing in that moment, or the conditions of what it means to present such a text at an art festival today, and in terms of how their fees look like,
mm-hmm.
how high they are compared to other kinds of work that take the same amount of hours and so on. So this for me, for example, is a very interesting way how to in a way use the situation and the problems, and in the frame of artistic text to reflect them,
mm-hmm.
so the conditions of the production. So this I would see as another strategy of how not only to reflect gestures of resistance, but to perform them.
Yeah, so it has a performative note,
yes.
this issue. Let's just talk about the impact for a moment. How big is actually the impact of performing arts on the broad public?
In general, I would say that the question of the size of the audience or of how to attract more people is not the most interesting question. Because it is exactly the question that curators or programmers, organizers of big houses are focused on at the moment. And it's exactly the question because of which they usually make a lot of compromises in their program, and justifying it by saying, but we have to attract a bigger audience, we have to fill the spaces, so that's why we have to show the musical instead of something that is maybe not so easy to read. So I think it's not the most interesting question, but I know what you mean, that probably the only way how to change the perception of people is that there is a broad offer of different kinds of performances besides the performances in big houses or city theaters and so on. That is, I think, becoming a problem again, even if that was already overcome in a way, I had a feeling. But the visibility, these drastic cuts, budget cuts and austerity measures are unfortunately especially hard for the small groups and for those who are risking the most in their artistically, in their performances, and also in the ways how they show things. So in a way, we have at the moment almost a little problem of visibility again, that performing artists are not that visible in the cultural field, I have a feeling. Or also they are underrepresented in the media or underreflected, I think. So probably it is very important to, I would say, to
resist.
To resist that dynamic. Yes.
Well, Martina, thank you for this conversation, and I think it's very good thing that this issue of Maska is also available on the website.
This is a great new tool, I think, that it's possible to take a look at the magazine online.
Z Martino Ruzem se pogovarja Tjaša Misel.
Intervju Radija Študent.